Hello and welcome to my home. You are in my study, and I think that you are the first guests that I've ever received in this room. So it's really exciting for me that you are not just one person. You are the whole congregation of St. Paul's and St. Mark's here with me this morning, and you are all so welcome. This week we're continuing our sermon series on how to hear God's voice. And this week's talk is entitled, The Compelling Spirit. And of course, today is a day of great celebration in the Christian calendar, the day of Pentecost, the day where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it's Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we are going to be talking about today. So let's look at the history of the meaning of Pentecost. The word Pentecost in the original Greek literally means 50th. You see, Pentecost has existed long before the first believers in Jesus gathered together. Originally, it was named after the word 50th because it was held 50 days following the first fruits of the harvest. And the people of God brought gifts as a thanksgiving to God during that festival. But it was more than a mere harvest festival as we might think of it today. It was a time where people celebrated creation. It was a time where people celebrated the fact that God provides for them, for his people. And people knew that they relied on God for their sustenance. They knew that there was nothing without God. They were very aware of the scriptures that we know to be in the Old Testament. They were aware of the Genesis story. Do you remember the Genesis story where we read the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the dark waters and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So the people at the time had a different understanding of the Spirit to what we do today. But they knew of the existence of the Spirit and it was referred to in their scriptures. The original Pentecost was where the people give thanks to God and the Spirit for creation and for providing for their needs. So I'm going to read you an extract from Isaiah chapter 32, which the people at the time the Jewish people would have been very aware of too. It goes like this. The Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert. His righteousness live in the fertile field. And it goes on to say that the fruit of this pouring out of the Spirit will be peace. And its effect will be quietness and confidence. I'm also reminded of what God spoke to the prophet Joel, also many years before the day of Pentecost that Christians celebrate. So these are God's words to Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for all. It's for all people, both women and men, old and young, people who are popular as well as people who aren't popular, for those who are rich and for those who have nothing. The Holy Spirit is for all people, and that is the gift that is on offer that the book of Joel anticipates. And that, of course, That story, of course, continues right the way up to today, where we celebrate the Pentecost as we know it. As we gather together, albeit online, we gather together today to celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit upon us all. There was another reason why Pentecost, before Jesus, was called 50th. It also marked 50 days after the Passover, when the angel of God delivered the people from Pharaoh, where the angel of God parted the Red Sea so the people could escape, and that when they came to Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments, the law, the way of life, that the people of God should now live. So when they met for Pentecost, it wasn't just celebrating creation. It wasn't just celebrating that God continues to sustain them. It was also remembering that God was saying that they are now to live a different kind of life. God was saying to them at that time that they were God's people and they must now go and be God's people, a distinct people. That's what they came to remember too at the day of Pentecost. And I think that's key to us too. I think that message of being God's people applies to us just as much as it did to them. That call to be distinctive, to live a different way, a better way, in line with God's will, that should separate us from everybody else. So I think that the fact that the Holy Spirit poured out on that same day, the day where people celebrated God's sustenance of creation and their call to be distinctive in their way of life, I think it's really significant. The Pentecost that we celebrate is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's significant to us because it's when the church really was ignited with God's power, and it ignites our relationship with God. And if we listen, if we discern, and if we choose to respond to the Spirit, it keeps us on the right path. It allows us, helps us to fulfill the plans that God has for each and every one of us. See, God was telling his people, us all, I think, that we're to live the way of life that God wants us to live. But now, because of the Pentecost moment that we celebrate, God also gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to do it. Because we cannot live a sinless life. We can't live according to God's law without failing. We can't follow God's will without error. We are simply not capable of it. But if we open ourselves up to the life-giving Holy Spirit that God has poured out for us all, we no longer live by the law, but we live by the Spirit. So now we're talking about living a very different life, a life that is distinctive, clearly distinctive, and clearly stands out from the life of non-believers. So at that moment, the biblical time, after Jesus had ascended into heaven and those early disciples gathered together, there was a sound of a mighty wind. Suddenly and miraculously, they were able to speak in different and unknown languages. Suddenly, miraculously, they were in tune with God and the whole of creation. Holy fire rested upon them, and they became alive with the energy and power of God. And it was this moment when the church ignited. It was this moment that the church that we're part of, God's church all around the world, ignited and started to spread out of Jerusalem. And it continues to spread today, with countless people in every country on the planet giving their life to Christ every day. If we choose to listen, and if we choose to allow the Holy Spirit into our lives, it is by that Holy Spirit encouraging us, inspiring us, compelling us, that we all come truly alive and come to know Jesus, perhaps for the first time. Or perhaps you already have a relationship with Jesus. Then it's by the same Holy Spirit that we will come to know Jesus much deeper than we do already. Let's have a look at the New Testament. And this is Acts chapter 20. A little extract from there. It's written by St. Paul. This is what he writes. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. The reason why Paul says he was compelled by the Spirit is because the Holy Spirit can give us such a desire for good things, and such a desire for God's kingdom, that it's hard to resist. But God isn't a bully. We can ignore him. We maintain our free will. We can refuse him. But the Holy Spirit, if we let it, can give us a new and powerful desire to see God's will done. It can give us a new desire and ability for self-transformation. And it can give us a new desire and ability to act for God. God, through the Holy Spirit, if we let the Holy Spirit in, gives us the desire to keep aspiring to be more like Jesus. We receive God's blessing through the Holy Spirit, and it gives us the ability to become a little more like Jesus every day. The Holy Spirit enables us to celebrate Pentecost today by how we live. And this is key. It gives us the power to keep celebrating Pentecost every day through our behaviour, the way we conduct ourselves, our behaviour, way of life that is being transformed by the Holy Spirit, if we let it. To truly celebrate Pentecost, we have to walk the walk. We can walk with the power of the Holy Spirit every day. It must translate into our workplace. It must translate into our home life and into our very being for it to be effective. There can be no barriers between us and the Holy Spirit. So how do I do this? How do I know what the Holy Spirit is encouraging me to do? How do I hear the Holy Spirit? How do I hear God? Well, all of the CSs that we're covering in this sermon series comes together to help with this. So if you feel encouraged to do something greedy, sinful or selfish, then that's your voice. That's the voice that we all have inside ourselves. That isn't God. That's our own wants and desires. To hear God through the Spirit, we must learn to be in God's presence all of the time. I find in prayers that if I open myself up to God, if I really let go, then and relax in his presence, then I feel his presence. If I open myself up to God and give time to listen in silence, I feel his presence. He is present and he makes himself available to us all. It's hard to recognise God if we're always busy or rushing around. It is so helpful when trying to learn how to discern God's voice in our lives. It's so helpful to make time for God, time to pray, time to listen. He is present. He is there. And we need to learn in our own lives to be present with him. And like many skills, it is a skill that most of us have to learn. It's easier, I think, to learn it on your own first in the quiet place. So if you haven't invited God into your life before, then now is the time. Take some time out. Go somewhere quiet if you can. Leave your phone somewhere else. Just sit still and pray. Surrender yourself and your pride to God. Let go of yourself, let go of the barriers that we sometimes put up and invite the Holy Spirit into your life. If you can't surrender yourself that much to God, but you want to, then simply start by praying for help to take down those barriers and to get rid of the pride that might be blocking your relationship with God. Pray for help for that. That's a really good start. The next thing to do is make time for God regularly. Over time, in that quiet place, you will learn to hear God. And after you've learned to hear God and respond to God, you can bring God and still hear God into the busy places, the places of stress for you, the chaos, your work, difficult relationships. You will still be able to feel God's presence as you navigate really difficult situations once you've developed a relationship with Him in the quiet place. In 1955, Martin Luther King was a clergyman. He was also the leader of a civil rights movement fighting racism in the state of Alabama in the USA. And because of his work standing against racism, he received death threats, serious death threats. Then he was arrested and charged for the first time, and this was for a very minor speeding offence. And it's thought of that it was merely a way for the authorities to have a go at him. Upon his release from custody, he received yet another death threat. Unable to sleep, he made some coffee and he sat down at the kitchen table. And he later wrote these words: "I was ready to give up. I felt myself growing in fear." But as he sat there, using his words to describe it, with his hands, with his head buried in his hands, he, and these are his words, he experienced the presence of the divine as had never experienced him before. From that moment on, when he was at a low ebb, maybe his lowest ebb, he didn't know what to do and he was about to give up. From that moment, when he experienced the presence of the divine in a way he had never experienced before, this was a clergyman, he had never experienced God in this way. From that moment, he changed. And Martin Luther King said, "My uncertainty disappeared and I was ready to face anything." And that is one of the ways God speaks to us. That's a dramatic story. God doesn't always speak to us in those really dramatic times. But that is one of the ways that God can speak to us through the Holy Spirit. The compelling Spirit that gives us the energy and determination and desire to act. That can be through the dramatic moments like we've just heard about. It can also be through other times that are less dramatic. They may have less serious consequences, but are nonetheless important to the kingdom of God. So Martin Luther King could have ignored it. He could have ignored the Holy Spirit rejuvenating him. But had he done so, the world would be a very, very different place today. St. Paul could have ignored the compelling Spirit to go to Jerusalem. You see, God doesn't bully us. We retain free will, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to walk with Him, to do God's will wherever we go, if we listen and choose to respond. Until you hear God in the quiet place, I really think it's hard to hear God in the places of difficulty or temptation. It's too easy to hear your own voice, our own wants, our own desires. And it's too easy to think, because you believe in God, that it's God speaking to us. But if you get to know God and you hear and you get to hear Him and recognize Him in the quiet place, then you can also make the distinction out between His will and yours when things get hectic and noisy. So as we've heard in the sermon series so far, we've heard of circumstantial signs. We've heard about common sense. And today we've heard a little bit about the compelling Spirit. As the series progresses, we're going to be hearing talks on the Council of the Saints and on commanding Scripture, so that by the end of this series, when you draw it all together, that the preaching team hopes that you will be equipped to more closely hear God's voice and call on your life. So I strongly recommend, as I draw to a close, that you make time for God. You make time to pray. You make time to listen. And if you've never sensed God's presence or God's will, pray that you do. And remember to listen. Through prayer, let's try and be as Jesus-like as we can. Be Jesus to your wife or husband. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life so you can be Jesus to that neighbour that you don't get on with. Let's be that distinctive people we are called to be. Let's invite and accept the Holy Spirit into our lives and let it transform us and those around us. Let us keep this celebration of Pentecost with us wherever we go. And let us share this Pentecost with everyone you meet, not just today, but now and always. That is my prayer for us all. In the name of Jesus. Amen.